I just want you to know that everything's going to be okay.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, it's feeling a little weird, Scott. I don't know about you. I mean, I've been trying to keep my head out of the news because it does weird things in my brain, you know? But if I'm not in the news, it feels pretty good. You know, I mean, life's good. I mean, we're spending some of this downtime working on our bedroom. We're painting it. We pulled up the carpet in one of the areas. We're going to paint the floor. It's an old house, 110 years old. So we've been working on projects and, you know, we're still having interaction family time, even though I think we're breaking the rules by having all our family together. but then again, when I like stick my head out just for a minute and I look at the news for a second, I can feel it pressing in on me. And I know some of you dads are, because you and I talk, Scott, you know, this can be a tough financial time and it can be kind of scary. And I just think you're going to be encouraged by the conversation that we're going to have with Jonathan Kennedy in just a few minutes. But I just want you to know that everything's going to be okay. You know, you don't remember the hard times that we went through 2 years ago or 4 years ago or hardly 6 months ago. And we're going to come out on the other end of this. And, you know, we might have a few bumps and bruises and it might have been a really hard time, but it's going to be okay. And I know our family needs us in this time because I know some dads are panicking and it's scaring their kids, you know? And I don't know about you, Scott, but do you remember the big blizzard of 78?
Yes.
I don't know, in Cincinnati. Was it a big blizzard there?
That was huge. That was okay. The best winter ever, man.
The best winter ever. You know, and that's from a kid's perspective. I can remember with my dad, I think it was during the blizzard, or it was a huge snowstorm. We had tons of snow. I think it was then. But our water went out. And my dad, I can remember, he was digging through the snow and we were out there to help him. And he tells this, not, I don't remember it, but he said he was digging through the snow, you know, thinking, man, are we even going to have any water? We're going to have to melt the snow. What are we going to do? You know, the toilets aren't going to flush. And he's digging through the snow and then digging through the ground in the snow. And he said, and you kids are just like throwing snowballs at each other, could care less. Every time I ask you to do something, you know, you'd forget what I ask you to do because you're playing in the snow. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what I want my kids to remember from this time. That they go, oh, yeah, we spent a lot of time together. We watched a lot of those old Disney shows on Disney Plus, didn't we, Dad? That it wouldn't be a scary memory. It would be a, like you said, the best winter ever. And I don't think that'll happen unless we make it happen. And I don't know if, Scott, are you guys, do you feel that hunkered down kind of feeling in your house?
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. My wife's business basically just shut down.
Right.
But she's still got work to do for, you know, stuff she's already been paid for.
Right. Which
is kind of fun. But
Yeah, it's more fun to do stuff you're going to get paid for later.
Yeah, well, and on top of all the stress and everything. And you know what? Honestly, at one point, she was just kind of freaking out a little, going like, I'm not getting anything done. I don't understand. I've been home for, you know, 3 days straight in lockdown and whatever, and I'm not getting anything done. And I just looked at her, and it was kind of an epiphany moment for me because I said, well, honey, the whole country's in shock right now. And I was like, yeah, actually it is. Like, I don't know medically, but like there's a level of shock that we're all going through with this. Oh. Like we've never dealt with this before, and it's going to take some adjusting to figure out, you know, just to get our feet under us again. So,
right. You know. Right. It does feel a little bit like that. It's like, I think my kids are playing more video games this past week than they ever have in their whole lives, you know, just because it's kind of like, yeah, we don't want to do anything. Go do that. But it is a reminder. I had a conversation with my wife last night that we need to reel that back in, that we can't just let our kids, you know, free for all in some of those things. They still need to have limits. But, you know, I just think that we dads should take advantage of this time as well. I saw a mom, she was saying that they made Green River floats. Have you ever heard of a Green River float before, Scott?
Nope.
I'd never heard of it. And I'm like, you did what? She said, oh, and she sent me a picture. It's this bottle. It looks like green liquid and it's called Green River. And they mix it with ice cream. And I'm thinking we should be pulling out some of our favorites. You know, whether that's root beer floats or whether that's we make waffles for dinner or some of those things that you would do in a blizzard that you would do now, you know, with some of that downtime. And I know it sounds like a pain, but I'll tell you, it's almost like we're given this opportunity that we don't necessarily have. My son next door, Ben, he's still working, but his wife keeps saying, oh, I hope they give you 2 weeks of vacation. And he goes, honey, it's not vacation. They won't be paying me. And she's like, yeah, but you get to be home with us. And I think sometimes we dads, you know, we're so responsible that we don't realize that when we're home, it feels like a vacation for everybody else. So, hey, enough chit chat. We've got a special guest with us now, Jonathan Kennedy from Richmond, Virginia, and he's the founder of Endeavor Capital. And he's got some Scott, he's got to raise the bar for this show, you know, because he's thoughtful. He's thought through and something that sometimes we are not. And I hope maybe he encourages all of the dads listening. But Jonathan, thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure to be here with you guys and look forward to our chat today.
Well, tell us a little bit before we get going, you know, so we know who we're, so they know who they're listening to. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Absolutely. So, again, my name is Jonathan Kennedy. I'm 41 years old. I live in Richmond, Virginia, born and raised. I'm a third generation business owner in my family. My wife's family has five generations of running a family business. We met in college at Virginia Tech, and we have three beautiful daughters, 10, 8, and 5 years old. So that's fifth grade, second grade, and JK. They go to a classical Christian school here in Richmond. And now my wife is the proud new owner of homeschooling. And something we were extolled to do by my mom when my oldest was 2 years old, and we said no. In fact, Todd, I think that's one of the first times I heard about you was at our homeschooling convention here in town. Mm-hmm. 8 years ago, you were one of the speakers. And so that was really neat to kind of see how God works, and this has come full circle. But my mom was very much, hey, you need a homeschool. And now all of a sudden my wife's homeschooling and she's going, this is why I don't homeschool. So we're fighting through this like everybody else, trying to keep it as business as normal as best we can.
That's right. We don't care about anything else opening. Just open up the schools.
Yeah, it was funny. Our school, which we love, sent out an email to all the parents because we're a classical school. Technology is not a big thing for us. And they said, hey, parents, it's going to be just like being at school, but at home. And all the moms said, we're not qualified for that. And so it's been fun to, and actually the best part, you know, honestly, the best part that's happened with that is that a lot of the dads have taken some ownership in this and have sat down with the kids to say, hey, look, here's the proper way to behave doing school at home. And that because a lot of the businesses around here are working from home, it's allowed the dads to participate in some of the teaching going on. And I just think that's so important because as dads, our number one job is to teach our wives and our kids and to be that example. And so it's been really nice to talk with my buddies who are saying, I'm doing the math or the English for today for this grade and my wife's doing the others. And just to see everyone working together is really a neat thing.
Well, how about we just kind of springboard off that, you know, because it is kind of a crazy time for us. We have never experienced this before. And I'll tell you from where I live, it feels very blizzard-like. You know, when we've had blizzards or we've had snowstorms and we've had, you know, a couple feet of snow and it kind of locks us in and there's that feeling of what's the world doing? And I'm one of those guys who's like, I have like forsaken the news just because it kind of spawns fear. And even if you aren't afraid, it kind of it feeds that. So what's a dad's role in all this?
Yeah, I think the number one role is, you know, we could call it the chief of positivity, and that dad really needs to lead the charge, especially at home, in positivity, because it does feel like that. One of my friends and I were talking recently, and he said, you know, when it snows 12 inches in Richmond, they tell you don't go outside because we're on the East Coast, Dad. So half an inch of snow, they close schools. So 12 inches of snow, don't go outside, this and the other. And then you've got all these yahoos that jump in their four-wheel drive Suburbans that don't know how to drive in snow, and they go out. Well, this time they said stay at home and don't go anywhere. And the people actually stayed at home. And so it does feel very apocalyptic or like a big snow day. But it's also like Groundhog Day in that it's every day. Mm. And I'm with you. I'm not consuming a lot of the news media because I want to wake up and I want to be the first one my kids see with a smile on his face. And we're getting those kids to know that, okay, it's okay to laugh and play and have fun. You know, we've got to be lifting up our wives. So I think chief positivity officer is the number one role that dads have to play right now. And then the other part of it is communicator. We need to communicate to our wives and kids what's really going on. We need to discern that and pray for wisdom in being able to do that and understanding the nuances of the world and teaching them to do this and do this new life that they're dealing with for however long. A, it's only a little blip in the big scheme of the world. B, it will have a lasting impact. And so if we understand those two things, then we can take the long view and explain to the kids what's really happening so they don't come at this from a place of fear. And I'm not, and positivity and a place of strength, understanding that this isn't happening to them, but it's happening for them. And it's giving them new perspective. And who knows what will come out of that perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's important. I think we really got to get away from the fear and really get away from the negativity and focus on the positivity. And again, it's not happening to us, but it's happening for us. And it's allowing us this opportunity to grow together and to learn in a different way. And flexibility is huge. Most of us are not very good at flexibility or change. And this is forcing both on everyone. And I think that's the good part that comes out of some of this.
Well, I know I'm with you, but I know Scott and I were just talking right before the show, and you know, there is that fear because, you know, some of us dads are like Scott's wife is a photographer, a baby photographer. Well, nobody wants a baby photographer right now. They don't want anybody near them, you know. And I know dads have their work is shut down and they're not being paid if they don't show up. And I know even for us, you know, we speak a lot and this is our busiest time in the year. And this is when most of our, you know, income comes in and they're just shutting down left and right, and they won't be rescheduled again until maybe a year from now. You know, how does a dad function as the visionary, you know, keep on focus in the midst of that? Because I like what you said, you know, about this is a short-term thing. And sometimes I think that's hard for dads to remember. So maybe you could encourage us dads.
Yeah. And I'm with you, right? So I run a financial planning firm. One third of our revenue comes from managing assets, and all those assets are 30% less than they were. Well, not all of them, but hypothetically, right, with the way that markets have gone, we're 30% less. I thrive on face-to-face meetings. So in my day, I'm having 4 to 6 face-to-face meetings with potential business clients. And all of a sudden that's stopped. And I don't love the technology. I'm trying to overcome my mental block for that. And so it is demoralizing and it can beat you down. And so I would come back to this. It's about the long view, right? And a lot of us operate on a day-to-day basis without necessarily thinking about what are our priorities, principles, and values. And I think that the most important thing a dad can do right now is sit down and say to himself, all right, what is my long view? You know, I'm 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. I've got 50 40, 30 years left. For me, the way I looked at it was like, I'm at my half-life by actuarial tables. And I said, what do I want to accomplish over the next 40 years? And then I said, okay, now that I know what I want to accomplish, the goals, let me design a mission statement around that. And let me design a vision statement around that. And then I sat down and said, oh, wait a second, before I really can do that, what does success look like for me? And I really needed to understand what is success for me. And when I sat down and got to the heart of it, success for me has nothing to do with what the world tells me it is. And once I started understanding that I could define my own success and that that provided me with a longer term view, it gave me permission to not be so hard on myself in this little blip that we're dealing with.
Okay, well, let's look at that. Okay, your definition of success. You know, because like you said, it's not what the world defines, but sometimes we even say that and yet we still do it. You know, we see the guy on television who has the big yacht or not even the big yacht, who just has a good job and he makes more than we do. And we think, ugh, he's got it made. You know, for you, how did you define success?
So the way that I define success, it kind of goes with the tagline of our business, which is leadership for your journey. And then for me, impact is important and having maximum impact on the lives of those that I'm with. And that's how I was able to slow down enough to say, okay, you don't have to have five meetings a day anymore. You could have two or three really good phone calls that are going to be just as impactful and could help lead that person to where they need to go.
And really, would you say, I mean, you know, because you said it's not this virus hasn't been done to us, but for us, even as a dad is kind of pushed back into his home, your maximum impact has increased, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The biggest ripples that, and you're going to have more ripples than me because you have twice as many or three times as many children as I have, right? But that's where your ripples come, right? And if you think about the number one thing that I can do as a dad is A, I mean, we need to love Jesus. B, we need to love our wife. And then C, how do we get those kids to think outside the box and to be creative like they were made to be? And my definition of success with my wife and I right now, and it's a little kid-centric, but I'll tell it to you. It's we're successful if we've created a loving, nurturing environment that allows our daughters to become who God created them to be. And when we wake up in the morning, those are the rose-colored glasses we put on. And as you think about it that way, the rest of it doesn't matter. So that's like the baby step, right? Because you can't go from 0 to 100, but you can go from 0 to 25. And so the slower we start and start thinking about, okay, what are little small habits that I can create to do those things? And then you do the same thing for your business, right? And you say, okay, how am I defining success in my business? For us in my financial planning firm, it's not, we don't measure success like any other firm in the country. I know this for a fact because I've talked to a lot of people about this. We define our success as a business and how many families can we help? And that looks different for every family. But that does mean that every family walks away with their own mission statement, vision statement, definition of success, and they're managing their wealth to that. And let's talk about wealth for a second, Todd, just so that people can understand kind of the bigger picture of this. Wealth is not money. So there's five forms of capital that are in each family. You have your human capital, all the members, your intellectual capital, what all their brains are capable of. You have their social capital of how everyone interacts with each other and in the community. You have your spiritual capital and then the financial capital. Now, the job of the financial capital is to support the human, intellectual, social, and spiritual capital. But if you break it down to the most basic part of it, it starts with how you're going to define the importance of all that capital. And then how do you put people in the right seat on the bus to make sure that the family's all working together? And this opportunity we have in front of us is to really learn how to have families start to work together and develop stronger relationships for whatever the next thing that comes along is.
Well, you're a financial guy too. So how do finances play a part in all this?
Well, and so it comes back to understanding that finances are really there to support the human, intellectual, social, spiritual pieces of each family member. And here's an example. With my three daughters, we have a couple of them that need special tutoring, and then we have one that doesn't. And so we know that we're going to be spending more resources on those kids for the needs that they have that the others don't have. And that's okay, because that makes their intellectual capacity go up. And then that helps all of us, because rising tides lift all boats. And we, when we understand that that money is a tool to help us achieve how we define success, then we're moving forward in a way that I think is honorable and pleasing to the Lord, in that we're not idolizing the money, right? And we're not idolizing the guy on the Instagram who's sitting in the Bahamas instead of in Wisconsin because he was smart enough to go to the Bahamas to wait this out. And we, right? But that's important. And there's certain inflection points through time when that happens. And we're never going to be able to predict when something catastrophic happens like this. But I think what we can take from this is, okay, what is the, what are the protection plan? What is the tool that I did not have during this instance, whether it's financially or otherwise, that I really wish I had had? And let me build towards that so that I'll have it for the next one.
Well, that sounds very intentional. I mean, I would assume, because, you know, like, I would assume that someone comes to you and you're as a financial planner or financial consultant, you know, the idea is that you're just going to help me get more. Is there ever a time, you know, where you say, oh, you have enough, or as a person? Because I see, like, you know, I'll see certain companies and nobody's ever satisfied if they did just as great as they did last year. It's got to be, you know, up 14% from the year before. And I think as men, you know, as dads, are we ever honest with ourselves, or should we be honest and say, you know, I need this much more, you know, because I'm putting my family, you know, in a pinch, or we have enough. I'm stealing from my family in their time. Does that make sense?
Yep. Two Tuesdays ago in our Bible study, we talked about this, and it's about shifting mindset. Retirement is no longer a thing. That was what our grandparents, maybe our parents, got to do. The world now is about understanding how to become financially independent. So that's a big differentiator. And financial independence can happen at any given age. And I sat down myself a few years ago and I said, if I had all the money I ever needed, what would I do differently? And what I came up with was I would leave my office at 4:30 because I want to be home for dinner. And between 4 and 6 in a household with toddlers and young kindergartners or elementary school kids is the bewitching hour, right? There's 2 hours, 4 to 6, mom's going crazy, house is on fire. It's just the way it is. So I said, okay, if I can get home sooner, I can help calm the house down, and that would be really positive for dealing with my wife later in the evening, and then how our kids live their life. And what happened was I realized I already had all the resources I needed, and my business was already providing it for me. Because by moving up the time I left, I got more work done. And so this is what I said earlier about little inflection points and little habits. My goal was leave at 4:30. The little habit I had to do was to get a certain amount of work done before that. And then the inflection point was that now I got to spend more time with my kids. And guess what? My income went up. My income didn't go down. It went up because I was more focused in the time that I was allowing myself to do the work, as opposed to messing around and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. So I think that's important. Now, the have enough piece, again, that goes back to understanding financial independence. And then it's also understanding what different financial tools are for. And that's really important as well. I think as dad, so when all this happened, one of the things that really was a comfort to my wife and I, we talked about, both of our dads will be turning 70 this year. Neither one of them really wants to hang out with us right now. And rightfully so, right?
Right, right.
However, the one thing that really came out of all that was really beneficial was we were both going, I'm so glad that our fathers are financially sound at this point, because no matter what happens, if somebody in our family needed help, one of them could help. And I think as men, we want to do that, right? And that's what spurs that, do I have enough? But if you understand that all your assets are available at any time, that some of them may have a higher access cost, that's okay. But knowing that whatever it takes, we get the job done, that's what's really important. And then you come back to what we talked about a minute ago. What tool did I not have when this happened? And how do I get that tool for the next time? Hmm. And once you start putting that together, now you've got a semblance of a plan that protects your risk management, keeps enough liquidity at home, and then helps you with the long-term growth and preservation of net worth. Not extraordinary. I mean, there's some people that I deal with who have extraordinary net worth, and you know, they're far and few between. And there's something there it's kind of like the Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan factor, right? There's something else driving them that they haven't gotten in touch with yet. But for the rest of us who are really want to be home and be present, it's setting up some non-negotiable rules, like you and I talked about when you came on my radio show a couple years ago, setting up some non-negotiable rules that I'm going to be home at this time. Right. And then I've got to get my work done here, and I'm going to be way more focused, and it's going to be better.
Yeah. I mean, my dad actually was really good at that. You know, he had a little print shop, still does. And people would say, well, you know, why don't you hang out with the guys afterwards? And he said, you know, I just want to be there for my family. So one of the non-negotiables was he just didn't hang out a lot when everybody else went out. He just always went home, you know, but because I think because you deal with people, some people who have lots and lots and lots of wealth, maybe financial wealth. And there is kind of like that mythology that people think, oh, if I had X amount, then I'd be satisfied. I mean, because even sometimes those very financially wealthy people, there still is that insecurity in that, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a client that I spent a lot of time with trying to get to the core of why he was still keeping score, even though he's in his 70s and well into the tens of millions of net worth. And we would have breakfast every other week together. And I started asking him questions, and this is applicable to everybody. And the questions were, what is it you want your grandkids to know that's most important to you? And then we got talking and he started answering and I wrote some answers down. And then I said, well, what is it you want your grandkids to know about your parents that they don't know? And he got misty eyed. And I was like, that was the key. It was like he was trying to prove a point that he could get to a certain level, maybe for something else. Right.
Right.
And I think that's another thing that can go on during this period, is we can take a little stock of ourselves and understand that we don't have to be perfect. We weren't designed to be perfect. And who are we trying to impress? And if we're not trying to, you know, I want to impress my kids. I want to impress my wife. But I don't do that by being Mr. Hotshot business guy. I do that by being loving, caring dad.
Because they really don't care about that at all.
They don't. My kid and I think talking to them about that is important. You know, I grew up in a house and I had an epiphany a few years ago. I was sitting at a coffee shop waiting for a meeting. First time I ever met this guy. He went to my church. He walks in and I look at him. I was like, I just had an epiphany about my childhood and I need to share it with you. And he goes, okay.
I mean, is this going to take long?
Yeah. He's like, I didn't know I was coming for your therapy session.
Yeah.
And I said, I just realized that my dad was not home for dinner. And he looks at me and I said, I've been very angry at my dad because I started doing family dinners with my family when my daughter was two. And they would take care of her one day, my parents would. And then at dinner time, when I would come home, like I was doing, they would still linger. And that bothered me. And I didn't know why it bothered me. And I took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of time. And the Holy Spirit brought it to me and said, it's because your dad wasn't there. So I called my mom. I said, Mom, this is my recollection of childhood. She goes, you're right. Your dad would go play tennis and network with people after work. And I could go to a networking meeting every evening. Well, I used to, not now, right? But I used to be able to go to a networking meeting every evening, and I chose not to. Mm. And I think that's what separates dads from just men who are earning money and doing their thing. Because dad says, I want to be home with my kid. Mm. Work is a necessary thing to support our family. Again, right? The five forms of capital. Your financial capital is there to support all the members of your family, their education, how they interact in society, and their spiritual growth. That's what the purpose of it is. So as long as you can use your resources to do that, then you're building what I call true wealth, right? True wealth is not money. True wealth is all the areas of your family life working well together, and open lines of communication and relationships that are solid. Once those things begin to happen, the money stuff becomes less important because your values are lined up with who you are in your heart. The best analogy I can give people is this. As men, right, Todd, I mean, like you guys know this. It's easy to connect your head to your wallet. You look at your bank statements, you look at your, you know, you go online, you can check your budget. We've got spreadsheets, Excel, like all these great things going on. Well, until you connect your head to your heart, to your wallet, you're never going to be satisfied, and you're always going to be measuring successes and wondering if you have enough. Mm. When you connect your head to your heart, to your wallet, then you begin to change. And the things that used to seem important are no longer as important.
And those things you're saying are not just cute little things to say. They are true. They are true. And that's really what, you know, what we've done on this podcast for a long time, or the email that we send out, or really the ministry that we have. Because you know the importance of having someone there to remind you of that. You really do need that band of brothers who are constantly saying, you know, reinforcing that truth, don't you?
You do. I mean, Todd, I could say, I could tell you something that you will hear much better from me than you would hear from your wife. Mm. Right? If my wife says, hey, Jonathan, I think you're doing this a little too much, I'm going to say, oh, honey, you don't understand.
Right.
But if one of my brothers, Tom or Matt or Jeff, said, hey, Jonathan, I'm a little concerned about you. I've seen this behavior. I don't think it's appropriate. I will tell you right now that the last couple of weeks I've had I've intentionally, and I think every man should do this. We should all be in a Bible study with other men on a weekly basis. I'm fortunate that I'm in two of them, and I love them. And I've got guys from each one of those groups that for the last 2-3 weeks, we're consistently texting, calling, meeting, Zooming. We're still continuing our Bible study, whether it's over technology or in person, based on the rules of where we live. And it has been the most uplifting, encouraging thing that I've done the whole time, other than being with my family. Mm. And it's kept me going and positive in business and opportunities in the community. And they're pushing, you know, they push and say, hey, how many meetings have you done? Right before I got on this call, one of my other brothers, Todd, he was going at 9 o'clock this morning. He was going on a call with his employees to talk with them about, and he runs a little 10-person company. He sent a note and said, will you please pray for me? Will you please send me some words of wisdom so I can share these with my employees, because I'm going on this call and most everything we're going to talk about is positive, but there's still some negative stuff we need to talk about. Mm. And you think about that. He's reaching out to me and our other friend to give him that encouragement, which is amazing that he is able to do that. He's not asking his wife for that, right? Because she's not in the shoes. So right. We need men around us to gird us and strengthen us and to be our brothers. I think if you don't have that, it's important to make a list and set of, you know, 3 guys, 5 guys, 8 guys that whenever you have a free moment, you reach out to that person, and those become your people. Hmm.
Well, Jonathan, we are out of time. We're going to have to do this again because you have lots of information, and I think we could have delved even a little deeper. Maybe when we get on the other side of Corona 2020, we'll have another conversation along these same lines. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing what you're doing, and thanks for the challenge today. Thanks for the positivity as well.
Well, I appreciate what you've been doing for many years, Todd, and The Family Man has been awesome. I encourage you to keep going and keep it up. Anything I can ever do to support you and make that continue, just let me know, because men need what you're doing. Dads need what you're doing. And we just really do appreciate you so much. So
Awful nice of you. Well, have a great rest of the week, Jonathan.
Thank you. You too.
Well, Scott, you know, I know this is kind of a weird time and, you know, maybe you weren't thinking of some of these things, but I guess I'm just challenged again. And I wrote some notes down because, you know, I'm not part of a weekly Bible study with other men. And that's something that I do need to be a part of, because even though I'm encouraged by our conversation here, Scott, you and I, and I have other people that I talk to fairly regularly, you know, but it's not a super regular thing. I used to be involved with a guy we would meet with an old guy every week when I was home. But I need that reminder, that constant sharpening or pushed into the truth, because not just at all times, but even especially now, because it can be kind of scary. And so, Dad, maybe there's something else that Jonathan said that just maybe struck a nerve with you, or something that you thought, you know, I really need to look into that. By the way, you can get a hold of Jonathan. You can find his company at Endeavor Capital, LLC. Endeavor Capital, LLC. It's in Richmond, Virginia. You can look it up on the internet, and I'm sure you can get a hold of Jonathan there as well. Well, hey, have a great week. Don't be afraid. God's got this. He's got you. And you need to lead the charge, because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.